Global Fertilizer Update. Today, I'm delighted to be joined by my colleague in San Diego, Mark Milam, and my colleague in London, Deepika Tapliyal. And we're going to be talking about the developments in the urea market this week. So I'm Julia Meehan. I support both my colleagues on our urea coverage. My responsibility is largely the European market, but there's not a great deal to say about Europe at the moment. Most growers now are focused on harvest. The weather's been pretty lousy in terms of rainfall, so that looks to be a problem. But the big news dominating the market this week is India and what's happening there on urea, and also how the pandemic is impacting. Shocking footage all of us seeing across the world at the moment. But Deep, talk us a little bit about what's happened in urea at the moment, how the recent tender could be impacted by the pandemic.
Thank you, Julia. And like you said, what a shock the Indian tender has been. I mean, if you look at the prices, they were not really that low. Of course, the lowest offer was below 360 CFR, which was slightly below market expectations. But it was about $4 lower than the second lowest offer. So it wasn't that much lower. But then again, we have just seen MMTC only able to get about 550,000 tons in total, which is like not even a third of what it was hoping to buy. Estimates were India was looking to buy 1.5 to 2 million tons in this tender. So they are behind. And it looks like the Chinese strategy has really worked this time. The producers in China knew that they will get better prices in the next few weeks, or they think they will get better prices in the next few weeks if things stay the same that they have stayed. We know that a lot of ship owners are not willing to go to India because of all the quarantine and the crisis that's happening in the country. So that has really lifted freight rates. At the same time, there are not enough ships that are willing to go to India. So if this continues, that means freights will be really expensive. And probably the Chinese anticipated this. All of them said that they will not match the price of the netback to China was about mid-320s FOB. And all the Chinese were very clear that their price is at least $5 higher than that. So none of them matched. And we are just seeing one cargo from China in this tender. And if you compare this to over 500,000 tons that went in the previous tender, and previously the Chinese were even looking to do about 1 million tons if the prices were right. So this is like a real shock. And we just need to wait and see what India does next. And do they come back in 2 to 3 weeks like the Chinese are hoping?
So that was going to be my question to you, Deep. Do you think the Chinese are just sort of being quite clever and sitting on the tons in expectation that the next round of tender or tenders will see higher prices?
I think so. And I think probably this time around, that's how the market may behave. Because if you look at the monsoon season in India, that's supposed to be normal. And the season will start in June. And real domestic demand picks up from July. At the same time, India's, like you mentioned, India's going through so much because of COVID. Manpower crisis, I'm sure, will happen. And it could be that a lot of the urea plants may need to shut down if there's not enough manpower. So will that affect domestic production? That's one thing we need to look at. And for India, farming is so important. They cannot at any stage let agriculture get affected. So would that mean there will be more demand for urea if in case we see domestic production getting affected? So all these factors and the higher freights and the issues with ship owners not wanting to go to India, the quarantine requirements, all of that points to more bullish prices for the next Indian tender. And probably all the sellers will get better prices in the next tender. And probably that's why we've seen that whoever could wait has decided to wait. And only those who wanted to sell or had to sell, they have sold. So majority of the tons in this Indian tender actually coming from the Arab Gulf. Then as expected, we are seeing a few cargoes from Egypt, from Indonesia and from Yuzhny.
Yeah, well, let's hope the situation improves very soon in India. Mark, we didn't see much activity on the Nola barge market last week. And just looking at our deal sheets today, it looked as if yesterday afternoon proved more active than the entire week altogether. So talk us through the mood in the US. Has there been much rebound on what's happened with India? What's happening over across the pond, Mark?
Well, here in the U.S., in comparison to India, it seems like at least the coronavirus situation is getting a little bit better. So that's good for everyone in general in the markets. As far as the fertilizer markets, we've seen some sway in activities and values over the last 2 weeks, with April cargoes drawing a lot of attention and higher values. But now that we've entered into May, it's a bit different tone. This is because while crop plantings have advanced well and contract prices continue to rise considerably for the coming crops, there's been less movement this first week of the month. The main reason for that this week is primarily weather. It's been wet and stormy across a good part of the key crop regions, most notably in the eastern Corn Belt and in the southeastern states. There's also been some cooler temperatures in the plains regions and the Midwest, which has slowed some crop growth. It's understood, though, that the Midwest region is running well, so that most likely helps build some more momentum next week, with some areas getting close to starting side dressing the new crops. I think some of this acreage will benefit from the rain, even if it's aggravating to farmers trying to finish up their sowings. Overall sentiment seems to favor a strong secondary period, but that prices will be challenged as May progresses if demand eases too quickly. I'm not inclined to buy into the demand just fading, as I think there's still a good amount of fertilizing still to come. And right now the U.S. hasn't benefited much from international developments. We'll have to see what comes out of India now that everyone's seeing these new estimates of how much they're going to buy and need. And so I'm feeling any push in direction for the U.S. is going to have to come from within the market for the short time. This could be from a strong refilling push, giving the market some more confidence, or if corn prices continue to climb higher, we could see urea values march further upwards. As I like to say, some people here in the U.S. like to have a little comment and they say, well, this is what makes fertilizer fun. Well, this next month of May is going to be certainly fun for those kind of people.
Oh, well, that's great to know. And let's hope, you know, things do improve for India. And maybe, Dibika, we could be seeing quite a different scenario than we saw last time when India came to the market. You know, we were expecting it to support it and suggest bullish undertones, and it was quite the opposite. And again, that seems to have flipped over again this time around. So it's all very fresh, and we'll see how things pan out over the next days and weeks. So thank you for listening to our podcast. Please join us again for the next installment of the ICIS Global Fertilizer Update, or catch up with all the latest news on the ICIS dashboard. For ICIS here in London, I'm Julia Meehan.
And I'm Dipika Thapliyal.
And this is Mark Milam.